The two young men had little in common, but they did not realize it, for they shared a number of surface traits. Both, for example, were fastidious, very attentive to hygiene and the condition of their fingernails. After their grease monkey morning, they spent the better part of an hour sprucing up in the lavatory of the garage. Dick, stripped to his briefs, was not quite the same as Dick, fully clothed. In the latter state, he seemed a flimsy, dingy blonde youth of medium height, fleshless and perhaps sunken-chested. Disrobing revealed that he was nothing of the sort, but rather an athlete constructed on a welterweight scale. The tattooed face of a cat, blue and grinning, covered his right hand. On one shoulder a blue rose blossomed. More markings, self-designed and self-executed, ornamented his arms and torso. The head of a dragon with a human skull between its open jaws. Bosomy nudes. A gremlin brandishing a pitchfork. The word peace accompanied by a cross radiating in the form of crude strokes, rays of holy light. And two sentimental concoctions. One a bouquet of flowers dedicated to Mother, Dad. The other a heart that celebrated the romance of Dick and Carol, the girl whom he had married when he was 19 and from whom he had separated 6 years later in order to do the right thing by another young lady, the mother of his youngest child. "I have three boys who I will definitely take care of," he had written in applying for parole. "My wife is remarried. I have been married twice, only I don't want anything to do with my second wife." But neither Dick's physique nor the inky gallery adorning it made as remarkable an impression as his face, which seemed composed of mismatching parts. It was as though his head had been halved like an apple, then put together a fraction off-center. Something of the kind had happened. The imperfectly aligned features were the outcome of a car collision in 1950, an accident that left his long-jawed and narrow face tilted, the left side rather lower than the right, with the results that the lips were slightly aslant, the nose askew, and his eyes not only situated at uneven levels but of uneven size, the left eye being truly serpentine, with a venomous, sickly blue squint that, although it was involuntarily acquired, seemed nevertheless to warn of bitter sediment at the bottom of his nature. But Perry had told him, "The eye doesn't matter, because you have a wonderful smile. One of those smiles that really work." It was true that the tightening action of a smile contracted his face into its correct proportions and made it possible to discern a less unnerving personality. An American-style good kid with an outgrown crew cut, sane enough but not too bright. Actually, he was very intelligent. An IQ test taken in prison gave him a rating of 130. The average subject, in prison or out, scores between 90 and 110. Perry, too, had been maimed, and his injuries, received in a motorcycle wreck, were severer than Dick's. He had spent half a year in a state of Washington hospital and another 6 months on crutches, and though the accident had occurred in 1952, his chunky, dwarfish legs, broken in five places and pitifully scarred, still pained him so severely that he had become an aspirin addict. While he had fewer tattoos than his companion, they were more elaborate. Not the self-inflicted work of an amateur, but epics of the art contrived by Honolulu and Yokohama masters. Cookie, the name of a nurse who had been friendly to him when he was hospitalized, was tattooed on his right biceps. Blue-furred, orange-eyed, red-fanged, a tiger snarled upon his left biceps. A spitting snake, coiled around a dagger, slithered down his arm. And elsewhere, skulls gleamed, a tombstone loomed, a chrysanthemum flourished. "Okay, beauty, put away the comb," said Dick, dressed now and ready to go. Having discarded his work uniform, he wore gray khakis, a matching shirt, and, like Perry, ankle-high black boots. Perry, who could never find trousers to fit his truncated lower half, wore blue jeans rolled up at the bottom and a leather windbreaker. Scrubbed, combed, as tidy as two dudes setting off on a double date, they went out to the car.